Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.
We're going to start this week's show with President Donald Trump.
We have a place that is like no other. It's 500 acres on the Atlantic Ocean, and we're going to do something that the likes of which probably have not been seen for many, many years. So we're very excited about our investment in Ireland. Ireland's a great place. I've been here many times. I have so many friends, and I love the people, and I love the country, and I felt that it was just an appropriate time, and we had an opportunity. And to get this kind of land on the Atlantic Ocean is just unprecedented. Having an airport with property is such a tremendous advantage, and having a great airport like Shannon, having to do with Dunbeg, is certainly an asset, absolutely. But the fact is, you have great courses in Ireland. That's a very, very important factor.
Well, that was a sample of the work of Ballywire Media, a video production company that has worked with the GAA, Ryanair, Brown Thomas and FBD. Paul Collins is the founder and CEO of Ballywire Media, and he joins us now for this week's Modern Media segment. Paul, before we discuss the business, you spent 20 years behind a microphone at Today FM. So tell us about that experience.
With right latchikos all together, like Ian Dempsey and Mario Rosenstock, and to be fair, Philip Cawley of the Southeast Radio Parish also. There were great times, Carl, because we had about 20 years together working in the big smoke. To be involved with lads like that for as long as we were and to see as much of the world as we did was just a brilliant experience.
So based on the experience that you got in Today FM over that 20 plus years, how was that of benefit to you when setting up your own video production business, Ballywire Media?
It was very helpful, Carl, because what I was doing in Today FM was editing the news, editing sport, doing scripts, interviewing lads, putting things together, mixing music and all that. And I suppose what I noticed in around 2007, that the internet was being used to consume entertainment and people wanted more information down the internet pipes. So essentially I began to look at the idea of providing content via the internet. So again, the big difference between, I suppose, what I was doing in Today FM and Ballywire was it was talking and content with pictures. So we do a lot of video. Now, ironically enough, the circle has gone a full turn because we now do a lot of podcasting as well. And much like a good radio show, much like a good TV show, much like a good piece of content, it really is all about the story, Carl. And that's something that Today FM is an award-winning business. And I suppose, look, I was part of it for a good few years. So you're kind of getting the recipe of what it takes to create some nice content.
In terms of the rise and the use of video by SMEs, is that almost in parallel with the rise in the use of video sharing platforms such as TikTok and YouTube Shorts?
It is, but I think really ultimately the major driving factor there, Carl, is the internet availability around Ireland on the mobile networks and in your home and on your phone. You know, because ultimately I could have a great video, but I mightn't be able to get it out to you if you can't watch it on your phone and you don't have the right speeds or you don't have, you know, 5G or 4G or whatever the case may be. So that's, in my opinion, the major driving factor. And then you have also platforms like Instagram and Facebook and your own, you know, social media pages, etc. So they obviously have a huge appetite for video. And ultimately, I think as well, you know, we're not that comfortable with being in front of the camera in Ireland or talking about ourselves in Ireland or whatever. But what you find is that if you explain to your customers or your target clients who you are, what your heritage is, what your unique selling points are, and maybe identify other clients that are similar to the clients that you're hoping to win, all those things help in helping you to do business.
And outside of marketing purposes, what are the reasons are businesses engaging with you today?
A lot of it is opportunities to get content for in-house or for social media or for to recruit people. So, for example, we've lucky enough to have some international clients. We've one client in New York who basically have what are called town halls every year. So they bring all their staff from around the US into one location and basically, you know, kind of outline their plan for the year. So that is an opportunity to get a bit about the personality of the business, you know, what kind of people work there, what's the vibe like in the business. So that's potentially a video for the culture of your business and potentially for use in the recruitment section. Then you have other things like, well, what is our unique selling point this year? What's our new product this year? How do you explain that? So it's an opportunity when you have a lot of people in the one place at one time to get cost-efficient content and then push it out over the year. So that's one aspect that people want to, you know, tell the personality of their business. Again, one of the big things I've seen lately is companies that are involved in M&A activity or looking to sell the business, they, like I say, want to spruce themselves up. They want to explain that they might have new technology in the business or they've got new machinery. And again, you know, if you're looking to sell your business to an international entity, well, the opportunity to present yourself in a professional way on the internet is an ideal shop window.
One of the big disruptors now, Paul, of course, is artificial intelligence. Is that an opportunity or a threat?
I think it's an opportunity, Carl. All new technology is an opportunity. But as I always say about these things, you know, good luck to you if you think it's just a matter of pressing a button. You know, all you still have to sit down with the business owner, or I have to sit down with you, or you have to sit down with me, whatever, whoever is bringing the expertise to the table and say, Carl, sorry, what are you looking to do? You know, I can certainly use AI or video creation technology to create what you need, but you still need humans involved in putting the thing together. And I think for as many as the advances there will be in technology over the next decades and generations to come, you'll still need humans to piece it all together and to humanize it, for want of a better term. I was looking yesterday, a colleague of mine, we were out on a shoot, and he showed me something that was created via an AI platform, you know, of a person out shopping, you know, but you still need to know, what are they shopping for? Where are they shopping? Why are we looking at this? And that all needs to be localized into, you know, your business and your local area. So I think there's plenty work out there for the humans yet, Carl. Do you know what I mean?
And as we look out over the next 5 years, Paul, what do you see as the big changes that will take place within video production?
Well, that all being said, like, AI is still a tool and it can be used. So, for example, one of the great values, we were talking about podcasting also earlier, which is another digital content piece that is huge now. If you're recording, say, a discussion for a podcast or for a video, the value of AI is that if me and you were sitting down to edit that, now I'd probably be a bit quicker than you, I'd say, but let's say...
Well, you do have many more years' experience,
yes,
you know.
Yes, but say the two of us were editing, it would take a couple of hours to pull together an edit. With artificial intelligence, there's actually a plugin now that you can get for a video editor that will, if you like, so if I'm talking and you're talking, it will cut the camera or the vision mix to the person that's talking. And previously that would have taken, you know, if it's an hour, it could take an hour or two to edit it properly in vision mix terms. AI can do it in 45 seconds. So that's a huge time saver that allows you and me to go out and have coffees while the machine's working.
Another very interesting project that you're working on is a graphic novel about Maeve of Connacht.
That's right.
What's the concept behind the project?
Well, to be honest, Carl, my late mother Myra, the aforementioned pub landlady in Tipperary, and my dad from Clare. My late mother was from Sligo, Knocknarea, and atop the mountain in Knocknarea, at the back of my mother's place, is what's legend has it that it's the grave of Maeve of Connacht, who apparently was an Irish warrior queen around Roman times or during the Bronze Age. And we had been going up there for years, Carl, for Easter and various holidays over the years, school holidays, and I never looked twice at the bald Maeve. But I don't know, I'm not a great believer in the universe or anything like that, but I went up after the pandemic to my late mother's place and walked around Knocknarea, and I got an awful urge to look into the whole Maeve story. And as I did, I discovered that the first ever colour depiction of Queen Maeve in Irish history of 2,000 years, Carl, was actually commissioned in 1907 by the then US President Theodore Roosevelt, who had heard about the stories of Ireland and mythological Ireland from the millions of people who sadly had to emigrate due to the famine and its aftermath. And I thought, wow, that's an incredible start for a story, if nothing else. And fast forward to today, so I've collaborated with a girl from Tipperary, Jennifer Ryan, who has done beautiful art to tell our reimagining of the Maeve story. And it's kind of seems to have resonated. We're looking at doing a number of books in the series Carl were self-publishing. So we're very excited about her, and she'll be coming out later on in the year. What I see happening for us is we hope to create a Celtic universe. So you'd have Brian Boru and others within that. And again, obviously, you know, the American followers are huge for that type of story, etc. So we're hoping to tap into a little into that. And we also have a VR experience. So watch out for it on the Wild Atlantic Way or wherever else you get your good graphic novels.
Paul, I'm going to finish this morning's interview by playing an audio clip from champion jockey and current Dancing with the Stars contestant Davy Russell and his wife Adele. But what's the background to this clip?
I love this story, right? A friend of mine, and now a business partner and client and everything else, but I've known her for years, Sinead Cassidy, approached me to do a podcasting series for the Galway Races. And I suppose what we were trying to do with that series, Carol, was trying to bring a bit of the crack that goes on in and outside of the parade ring to listeners to whet their appetite for the season ahead and for the upcoming Galway Race Festival. And the mad thing was, the stories you get from people who've been to the Galway Races and, you know, over the years or whatever, came through, including this one. And the mad thing was, Davy, you know, was a great sports star, but he wasn't that well known to Adele when they started going out, as you're about to find out.
I went to the Galway Races on the Monday. It was my dad's birthday, and he's a huge fan of the Galway Races, and my parents would, it was an annual thing every Monday. We went out for dinner and had some drinks, and I met a friend of mine, and she was encouraging me to come downtown. Galway was alive. We were walking back to my friend's place and we met David and the lads, and they said they were going back to have a party in Clare, Galway. We hopped in the car and went with them. The next day I was at home and I said to my dad, I'd met this really nice guy called Davy. Davy Russell, and my dad said, is he a jockey? And I said, no, this lad's not a jockey. I went away, and my dad called me. The 6 o'clock news was on, and dad had paused the news, and he said, Adele, is this the guy? Dave was after winning on Rebel Fitz, and he paused, and I said, oh my God, that is the guy. That's him. So no, he had never, he didn't say anything the night before. He didn't mention.
I think he was a pilot. I don't know whether it was a pilot or an accountant wouldn't have done at the time.
You could have been a Limerick hurler. I didn't know.
We'd pick a team at the start of the night before we go out, whether we'd be pilots or surgeons or, you know, and we'd run with it.
Well, those lads were some characters. That was Davy Russell and his wife Adele recounting how they met for the very first time at the Galway Races. That coverage was recorded by Ballywire Media, and I'd like to thank Paul Collins for joining us on this morning's show, and we wish him well with Maeve of Connacht.
Southeast Radio's Business Matters with Carl Fitzpatrick.